Palmer Luckey just did an interview with Barry Weiss, kind of advancing some pretty far-right views over for her podcast.
With Barry Weiss?
Yeah.
Barry Weiss, who reports directly to Ellison? He was doing far-right views? What a concept.
Hey, everybody, I'm Tim Miller.
And I'm Cam Caskey, and this is FY Pod, the Bulwark Show, where we talk about stuff from a young people perspective and from the perspective of people who occasionally want to know what the fuck is going on when certain politicians are doing weird shit. Let's take a look at an example of that with Mr. John Fetterman.
My man. Not really. Don't get mad at me.
And you even represent Eagles fans, I take it as well. One final question, Senator Fetterman. The president yesterday seemed to acknowledge that he's trying to get a $230 million payout from the government in response to a couple of the investigations into him that would be taxpayer money. How do you feel about the president pushing for that?
I hope that's not true. For that kinds of money, that's small ball, and I think we have much bigger problems in worrying about those things. I hope it's not true, and of course, you know, the $230 million should go to paying people's health insurance or other things. That's not a priority I would ever support for those kinds of payments.
Senator John Fetterman, a Democrat from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and a Steelers fan, we do appreciate your time.
Why is he missing layups? Like, why can't he call out the Trump administration for one thing? Because unless I'm mistaken, it seems like these days all he does is play defense for them, whether that's illegal strikes in the Caribbean, whether that's, is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
I say both. I go back and forth.
It's the Pirates of the Caribbean movies that really fucked it up for me. But like, are there points at which he is critical of the Trump administration at this point, or is he just,
I mean, I think he was trying to be there. I said there are a couple of things happening here that I think are worth commenting on. One is just, and I say this like with respect, and I like not trying to be a dick, but just like, he obviously is still dealing with after effects of the stroke. I mean, he can be like, that didn't make sense. Like, the answer doesn't really make sense. And I said this to you when I interviewed him, it was very awkward for me because, you know, I want to be sympathetic to somebody that's coming off of a medical event. You're also a sitting senator. You have a lot of responsibilities, and he just doesn't really have an ability to do like follow up questions or like complex thoughts. Like, he has talking points, but then once you get off of them, he struggles. And I think that's what I saw there. He didn't exactly know what he wanted to say about that, so it ended up being a lot of just sort of word salad. So I think he was trying to say that. I hope it's not true because I think it's bad. But he didn't really enunciate it that well. And to me, the thing that is the most revealing about Fetterman that is bad in this case, and in a separate clip where he talked about he didn't care about the White House getting blown up, exploded. And this happens across the board. Like, if you wanted to give the best case scenario for Fetterman, like an argument, it's that this guy is just a working class guy who like wears sweat shorts and he only cares about things that people in Braddock care about. And so he doesn't get involved with all your pearl clutching about DOJ norms or whatever, but at least he'll stand up for his people. But like, he doesn't stand up for his people in any case. Like, that's my thing about this. Like, you would think this would be a fucking, you call it a layup, like right across the plate for Fetterman to be like, Donald Trump's taking $230 million? That should be going to the people that are struggling to pay for their groceries. Like, Donald Trump is taking $10 million from Lockheed Martin and $20 million from Google to build himself a fancy pants Versailles in D.C.? Shouldn't that money be going to people who are struggling country?
Calling it a Versailles, it gives it too much credit. It's going to be some ugly gold Trump aesthetic shit. Looks awful. Trump aesthetic is terrible. Like, for someone who like prides himself so much on appearances, like, he builds some ugly shit that looks stupid.
He does build like a shit that looks stupid. But I guess that's my point. You could make a populist case against this from the populist right and have that, that was a Freudian slip, but from the populist center or whatever Fetterman is, you know, if he agrees with Trump on a couple of policy things, and he does, but like on these sorts of issues, like, he's not even doing the populist anti-establishment thing. He's like doing the fucking suck up to the leader, like suck up to the moneyed interests thing.
not even in one of those Gretchen Whitmer getting caught on camera giving Trump like a dapping him up type things, where, you know, we can talk about whether playing nice with Trump in certain instances is kind of what you have to do. That's a different conversation. But again, he's missing layups. He's capitulating to Trump in areas where it's not even going to cause Trump to perhaps treat Pennsylvanians any better. But the kind of timelier question that I think this raises, because Fetterman acting like this, and by the way, to what you were saying about him recovering from the stroke, another thing in regards to his brain function that I think it's super important for us to point out is the fact that many staffers have reported him having temper tantrums, yelling, yelling at teachers' unions, yelling at different people who he works with. There are a lot of signs right now that this guy
kind of yelling at himself, also just like, why are people so mean to me, like that kind of thing.
Why don't people like me? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've seen this on Twitter in the Graham Platner Reddit and Nazi tattoo discourse, where people are saying like, oh, putting up somebody like Platner, allowing someone like Platner to kind of walk in, even with all of this baggage, you're asking for another Fetterman. When somebody is leaning into more populist, progressive adjacent messaging, this could be a Trojan horse situation where you're letting in someone who, should they get that position, is ultimately going to capitulate to MAGA and betray the Democratic Party. I kind of think it's a nuanced topic, but I'm curious what you think about like about that. Like, beyond the condemning Nazi shit and the ugly tattoo he had and everything like that,
do you
see populists like him who can actually perhaps win elections that otherwise seem challenging ending up like Fetterman? So do you think Fetterman is like a special case?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, sure. A lot there. I just really quick, I mean, my main issue with Patner, and I said this with Favs in the pod yesterday, but I just think it's worth repeating because I just don't want people to misunderstand me. The Maine Senate race actually shouldn't be that challenging. Kamala won Maine. And so to me, it's kind
by
of like,
lot,
I think
right?
it's
by like,
yeah, like nine. So I think it's like a different question about whether it's worth the risk of kind of an untested person putting ideology aside in Maine than if it was like Florida, right? You know what I mean? So I do think that like, maybe you don't need to try somebody new in a place like Maine. Maybe you do. I just want to put that out there. Like, the Maine case is makes this a little unique. The Fetterman thing is also interesting because it's like, I don't really think Graham Platner is going to turn into a Fetterman. The Fetterman case is very, you know, and he has the stroke and he always had some weird kind of things. I guess people could say that Platner always has had some weird things, but I don't know. The Fetterman, there were some red flags. As a bulwarky person, I would say it is worth. I wish that the people that were very excited about Fetterman on the populist left progressive space would have a little bit more reflection on the fact that, like, the normie centrists were really right on that race. Like, Connor Lamb, who he ran against, was just like a cookie cutter white guy that, like, looks like he could, you know, be in the picture next in the encyclopedia next to like white bread American, like it could just be Connor Lamb's picture next to it. And like, he has been great as speaking out against the Trump administration. Would have been a much better senator, no matter whether you're a centrist or progressive or whatever. He would have just been a million times better on all accounts than Fetterman. And so, you know, sometimes I feel like people get dug in based on their ideological side, that it's like, well, Fetterman was kind of repping progressive vibes, so I'm going to be for him. And Connor Lamb's repping center's vibe, so I'm not going to be for him. You know, and then the same thing's happening in Maine, where like Janet Mills is kind of giving off a lot of Joe Biden-y energy, and Graham Platner is giving off Bernie energy. And it's like, I just kind of think it's like worth letting it play out. And I think it's an interesting data point that's like, we should remember the Fetterman experience and continue to kick the tires on Platner. Like, see how he performs. It's a year away. You know, more like 9 months away till the primary. But I think it's possible, you know, it's something worth keeping an eye on, I guess. But Fetterman also could be an outlier. I guess that's my thoughts on it. What do you think?
I talked about this on MSNBC Sunday when we were doing the morning show. And I think I was asked this question to be set up to grill Platner for his Reddit comments. For everybody's very important context, I was talking about his Reddit comments, not the Nazi tattoo, but I think this applies across the board. The Platner situation is a very important conversation for the party to have, given that, you know, my generation is going to be a generation of people with history of comments on the internet. And as we move forward, and the Democratic Party has to reconcile with a culture that has shifted from certain types of accountability that are completely necessary and certain types of accountability that are perhaps holding people to a standard that is not going to lead to success for us, how are we going to start to handle these things? Are we going to listen to someone like Plattner when they tell a story of their own redemptive experience, learning valuable lessons? Or are we going to need everyone to be that kind of perfect Yale? I mean, Favreau had a tweet about this where it's like, every single politician needs to have a perfect history, have gone to Yale Law School, you know, served in certain capacities and fit the purity test. Like, I personally don't know. Seeing the Plattner Nazi tattoo gave me, as a Jewish person, a very valuable reminder that not everybody needs to have a take about everything. Because when I was wondering what my take on the Plattner Nazi tattoo thing was, I was like, you know, if he wasn't a veteran, I might think differently about this. But I kind of feel like people who serve this country need at least context provided for why they did certain things. When I saw the tattoo, I completely believed the story that he just saw it and thought it was like some badass thing and didn't understand it was a Nazi thing. Whether that is just too risky is the other conversation. Like you said, Janet Mills probably could win this race. But, you know, I agree with part of the Ezra Klein sentiment. And you know that if I say I agree with Ezra Klein,
watch out.
Yeah. But I agree with part of his sentiment that you need to be willing to run Democrats in races where they are not going to fit your vision of the party, but they could win. I don't think abortion is one of the issues where we should cede any ground, especially since in a lot of the states that Ezra Klein referenced when he was talking about where we need to run pro-life Democrats, abortion won, like pro-abortion measures won on the ballot. So I think that that was kind of ridiculous. But listen, I'm somebody who identifies as someone with very progressive politics, but I think that in races where you need a moderate to win, you run a fucking moderate. But I guess
on this point, can I ask you one thing about this? The one thing that has annoyed me about the Plattner discourse, there's been a lot of annoying things, but this is one that's really stuck in my craw, is that there've been a lot of like progressive, like dirtbag lefty, or not even dirtbag left, but like just, you know, like the more populist left Bernie crowd, just to genericize it. You see a lot of them making this defense of Plattner being like, you know, we have to, the party has to learn, right? That like, you know, we're going to have some people with some rough edges and some past comments, and we get younger people in and younger people with these internet histories. And I agree with all of that. It's just kind of hard for me to imagine them making that case if it was like Josh Shapiro or Pete Buttigieg or Jared Golden, and it was revealed that they had, you know, a quasi-racist, not even quasi, kind of racist really in some of the cases, like racist comments on a Reddit board in the past. I kind of feel like the same crew that is coming to Plattner's defense being like, you know, we gotta accept rough around the edges people, would be like, see, the centrists are racists, like we gotta, you know what I mean? And I do think there's a little bit of bad faith on that.
Yeah, I think that two things can be true at once. I think that a lot of the arguments to be made that it's more important what Plattner is doing with this moment and what he plans to do with the future than it is what he's done in the past, especially when he's willing to hold himself accountable for these things. I also think you're right to say that were it a Pete type, it would be a completely different conversation and he would be clubbed to death by these very same people who are defending Plattner. This is kind of where my party
values. I just wanted to hear you say that.
No, this is where my party values kick in, because I'm happy to go after plenty of Democrats for plenty of things. But I think that ultimately when it comes to focusing on winning, you need to focus on who can win and serve the Democratic project. And that's what it needs to be about. But I also think that there's some context, right? The things that Plattner did were things that a disaffected veteran who got screwed over by the system and learned a valuable lesson about what the American system is would do. I mean, a lot of the comments that he made that I find reprehensible or unacceptable or something in between that and understandable, a lot of those make a lot of sense in the context of a veteran who served this country and then got smacked in the face with reality of what the American system really is, especially for our vets. Someone like Pete, well, he is what Jon Favreau was joking about, which is the perfect cookie cutter guy who had a certain type of,
I guess, you know, I hate this though, actually. Is it, it's just because they dress different. I don't know. Graham Plattner had successful parents, went to GW. Again, he went to war and his war experience was way different than Pete. No doubt. I'm not trying. He saw some really crazy stuff over there and horrible stuff. And so I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm just saying it's not exact. I don't know. Like, Pete was in the closet, was serving in the military. It was illegal for him to serve in the military, actually, when Pete was in the military. He's in the closet. He's the mayor of South Bend.
So he's a criminal.
He comes out. Yeah, right.
So you're confessing that Pete Buttigieg is a criminal.
And he comes out, he runs as the first major gay candidate. Again, I'm not trying to like compare traumas here or whatever, but I'm just like, it's not as if we're talking about one guy that like, you know, has, you know, whatever, that was born with a golden boot in his mouth and like was a Nepo baby and succeeded at everything in life and was a straight white guy, and another person that like grew up in the ghetto and, you know, was in a one parent household and whatever, you know, was in jail. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what it is. Like, Plattner and Buttigieg's background. Well,
This speaks to the same thing, which is context. If there is a reason to believe that this person might have felt this way, and if there's a reason to believe that they have had a journey ever since, I think that you need to believe in those things, because if you give up on the idea that a human being can change, I think that you're giving up on everybody a little bit. You know, there's certain people who I look up to and idolize in this life who have had backgrounds where they've said and done things that I find completely abhorrent and unacceptable. And they've said, that's not me anymore. Here's what I learned and here's how I applied it.
I'm for all that. This is the bulwark. That's our whole ethos. All of us. That's everybody.
Yeah. I have to believe in that. I really have to believe in that, because I myself have had to learn a lot of important things. And I myself believe that I am a different person than the individual who made certain mistakes that I've made. And if I can grant myself that grace, I have to grant it to other people. But with the time we have left,
I love that. I'm sure
there's plenty more to say. I do want to play a clip that you sent me about, like, having babies when you're 10 years old or something. Let's take a look.
In their early 20s, right? Then their early 30s. Just by...
Oh, forget... What are you talking about, 20s? Look at this mainstream NPC. Kids should be having kids when they're in their teens. That's when they're supposed to have it. Now you could argue that maybe there's a reason to stretch it out a little bit. But if we're just talking about physical ability and depth of well of energy,
what archetype is this?
Let's not be politically correct. Let's just admit you're supposed to be having kids when you're 16, 17, 18, and be done by the time in your 20s, so that you can have your kids working on the farm by the time you're in your 40s. I mean, it's a I regret not having kids even at the age of 33. I regret not having them earlier, because I'm like, geez, this would have been so much easier when I was younger. I've been with my wife since we were 15, though. So it's a lot easier for me. You know, would be like, oh, but Palmer, how do you know it's the right person? I'm like, geez, we should have just obviously had kids when we were 16. It would have worked out just fine.
Just buckle up, Cameron. This was the reason I said this to you. I need to give you the lore of this person before you.
Are you a medieval noble who's trying to betroth me to your 6-year-old daughter?
I am not. But I do think that it might be time for you to start, you know, getting out there with the young ladies you're dating. Maybe they should pull the goalie and just kind of see what happens. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Palmer Luckey, who's speaking there, what is really an infamous character. He started Oculus. That got bought by Facebook when he was a young person.
Wait, the guy with the fucking look right there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That guy is like a multi-billionaire. I didn't just send you some random person on the internet. That person is a multi-billionaire. Palmer Luckey's sister is married to Matt Gaetz. Palmer Luckey just did an interview with Barry Weiss where he was, you know, kind of advancing some pretty far right views over for her podcast.
Barry Weiss, who reports directly to Ellison, he was doing far right views. What a concept!
I know, and I had lunch with him. I had lunch with Palmer Luckey maybe 8 years ago, because he had this new idea that's worked out well, which was kind of some border technology that the government is now investing in. That's like some it's kind of invisible fencing for the border, basically. It's more complicated than that, but that's the gist. And he wanted to get the establishment Republicans in on it, like, because it was like the far right Tea Party guys that were in on it. And someone told we had a mutual friend. Someone told him that I could maybe help him get in with the McCain types of the world. We had lunch. Over lunch, this man picked his nose and ate it during lunch. It was the most disgusting lunch I've ever had with anyone in my life. He was slurping his miso soup. It was very yucky. I found him very scary, and here he is now, big Trumper, and advocating for child marriage and child rearing.
We need to do away with this image that a lot of people in the media have of billionaires as people wearing fitted suits with million-dollar haircuts. A lot of these guys are weird fucking hippies. No hate to hippies, by the way. I've been to a preponderance of Grateful Dead shows. I'm just saying, no more Bruce Wayne billionaires. A lot of these people are as freaky as anyone. I was going to say as anyone in Burning Man, but a lot of people at Burning Man are pretty rich too. So moral of the story is.
So what do you think about a anti-immigrant hardliner billionaire who has influence with the administration, has influence with people at the height of media power like Barry Weiss, arguing for 16-year-olds having children? Wonder what your take is on that.
You know, I want to have kids whenever I can, like, very comfortably afford kids. I don't want to have kids when I can marginally afford having kids. I want to have kids when I can have kid money and then some spare money. But I am also in many ways prepared for adulthood in ways that a lot of people my age are not, largely because a good amount of my close personal friends already have children and teach me a lot of things about parenthood, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that many young parents do not learn. So that's a different story. But the idea of people reproducing at that age, like people like, what's his name? Palmer Luckey. Is that just his Palmer username Luckey, or is that his last name?
That is his Luckey? Real life name.
His Christ-given name, or did he change it?
I mean, I've not seen the long form birth certificate, but I understand it to be his Christ-given name.
A lot of those people are so obsessed with genes. Like, so many of them get, I'm not calling you need to reproduce when you're 16 white supremacist, but it's from the same genre of like obsessing over biology and things like that in a way that seems very unhealthy because, you know, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds were in fact reproducing during the medieval era. But just because somebody's body can do something does not mean their mind should have to do it. Like the psychological toll that can take on somebody. Imagine your fucking 16-year-old daughter dealing with postpartum before she even knows how to deal with the fucking SAT. Like, I feel like it's almost redundant to talk about how psychotic this is.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw a tweet from somebody that's actually more on the right, which gives a little more credence just because it's a self-critique of their side, where he was like, I don't think anybody who actually was raised by a 16-year-old mom would agree with this take. And he's like, and I say that coming from somebody who was raised by a really amazing 16-year-old mom. It's just like, anybody that has to live through all of this, anybody that has to know what it's like, particularly to be a single mom at that age, and parenting is very challenging. And as a representative of the pronatalist wing of this podcast, I do think people should have kids. Kids are great, but this is crazy. And I think the craziest part and why it's worth mentioning is just that it's like these sort of fringe right cultural views. Like we want child marriage and natalism. And as you mentioned, not saying Palmer Luckey has this view, but kind of related, kind of eugenicist, getting out the calipers, white supremacy stuff. Like all of that is floating around at the most influential, highest levels of our government in a way that it wasn't, you know, during past Republican administrations.
And you get a lot of it through this Trojan horse of pronatalism. You get a lot of it through, oh, we're having a population crisis. The same people who want us to have net negative migration, by the way, are talking about how there aren't enough people in this country. But a lot of these individuals want young people to be reproducing, and they don't want government services to help these people start families. And again, I feel almost redundant saying this because this is kind of one of the quintessential, like, defining traits of the right socially right now is have kids, start families, don't expect any help, don't expect any resources, don't expect any jobs, expect your grocery bills to be higher and your baby food to be higher because of tariffs and everything. But also you need to reproduce and have children.
Lastly, on this, just in case anybody's doubting the what kind of propaganda is being put out about these people, the guy that you watched in that video on the podcast with his flavor saver, talking about 16-year-olds having babies. This was the promotional poster for his event with Barry Weiss that they that the Free Press put out. Palmer Luckey on the future of American power, America 250, looking up like this man. This man is a maverick and he is a hero.
Imagine being a billionaire and not having a better headshot than that. Like, this looks like the poster for an event at like a high school that was graphic designed by somebody using MS Paint. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Another revelatory episode of FY Pod. We'll be seeing you soon. We've got a crazy episode this weekend. Harry Sisson got shat on by Donald Trump in an AI video. We're going to talk to him about that, masturbation, and much more. See you all soon.
Peace.